one other secret that I learned from coaching to this is...
So the big question is, what are top agents doing to absolutely crush it in real estate? To get the answers, we interview the top real estate agents to learn their secrets to success. If you would like one-on-one access to over 26 of the top agents in the country to help you scale your business, then head over to eliteagentsecrets.com/partner, or you can just click the link in the description below. My name is Andrew Dunn.
And my name is Peter Michael. Welcome to Elite Agent Secrets.
Actually, I know we had a longer start, but I'd love to actually just move on to your second topic because I think it ties in nicely to the first one, which is the fact that the whole irony of this show, and I hate to disappoint some listeners, is your second topic is there is no secret sauce. Work harder and get a bit smarter along the way. So unpack why that is your second secret. And this is gonna upset a lot of people, but there are some amazing tactics and strategies out there for sure. Like, you can definitely get a higher ROI on your time depending on the strategies or tactics you use. Like, sure, you know, use social media rather than going door knocking. You're leveraging your time. Good strategy. Right. But a lot of it is just hard work. So unpack it for us.
Yeah. So I don't say no to things, not because of some altruistic thing that I want to help people. I just don't say no. And I have so many agents that come in and say, I want to be a luxury listing agent. I'm like, good for you. You're not going to succeed. Or I don't want to do rentals. Good for you. You're not going to succeed. Like, why should you like already cut off half the population of what you're doing? I am listing a $2.5 million house next week. And today after the show, I'm running around $175,000 buyer. Does that make me stupid? Because I have other people that could do that. Does that make me a control freak? I don't know. I make whatever, $400 an hour and I'm running around somewhere like that. I don't say no to anyone. If I can help you and I approach this, if I can help you, then I want to help you. I want to close the deal. I want to get to the finish line. I want to win for you. I want to win that house for you. I want to sell that house for you at the highest price. I want to win. And I don't care if it's $5 million or $500,000 or $100,000 or a $1,500 rental. I want to win that for you. And so I think so many people starting out in this field, they put limitations or they think too much about the money. If you think about the money, you are not going to win this game. I mean, if it's about the money for you and not about helping people, and I don't mean altruistic helping, because I'm not that. I'm the first person that'll say, like, if you fall on the sidewalk and scrape your knee, I'm like, get up, buttercup, no crying, you know, whatever. I'm not going to be like, are you okay? You know, but you ask my kids. I have zero empathy. Just get up, get going, and win the game, win the race. You know, you fall down, win it. So it's not about limiting yourself. I don't know if that it all falls into the hard work, but if someone is going to call me after this call and ask me to show them a rental, you know, I am first going to see if my rental people on my team will take it. But if not, I'm going to take you, because that rental client, true story. Okay. So I always feel it's experiential to my agents to tell a story about this. I took a rental client that was coming from Tennessee. Here I had a listing, landlord rental thing of something I sold him. Then he wanted to list it. So I'm like, I'll double pop it, right? You know, get the renter. They call me from Tennessee. They're like, you know, we just need a rental. We're going to eventually buy there, but we need a year to get used to the place. And I said, not a problem. Get them under the rental, kept in touch, whatever. They call me a year later, like, we're ready to look. Our value is $1.5 million. And I was like, okay, that's pretty darn good from a sign call on a landlord. They didn't buy for 6 months. They couldn't find the right one. We did get under contract and are closing in 2 weeks on a $1.45 million house. And I think about that when I talk to people about rentals, because I'm like, you want to be $1 million buying agent or listing agent? Because when they leave 2 years from now, get relocated, I'm going to be their listing agent. You know, you want to do that? Then you take the rental. That's what I mean by work hard. Like, you don't limit yourself. And here's the second part of it, because you said it, working hours. I think Brad said it. best is working hours. If someone wants to see a house, I believe I'm showing three tonight, Friday night, 5 to 7. Are you out at happy hour? Are you at dinner with your family? Or are you showing people homes? And my family knows I'm showing people homes.
But that's so how you become successful is doing all these things. And, you know, I've missed some stuff and it's my choice. I've missed birthday parties. I've missed these things. But now for the rest of my life, I'm going to have a fucking kick-ass life. You know, I'm sick and tired of these agents that are honestly lazy. They don't do anything. They watch the movie The Secret. They think they can sit in their fucking sweatpants on the couch and they come by and they're like, I'm going to put it to the universe that I'm going to sell 100 homes. I'm going to rub this magic rock in my fucking pocket and all of a sudden this pixie dust is going to come around and I'm going to be a millionaire. Like, no. That's not how it works in real estate. Like, you got to work your ass off. And coaching agents and all the agents I coach out there, stop being shitty. Like, seriously, like, wake up and want to do the work or just get a different, just do something else. And it's okay. I told some of my students, it's okay you're not a good real estate agent. You're probably great at something else. Cut the cord, move on. You suck. Next. Like, you have to have great work ethic, and that's the only way that you can make it.
Totally 100% agree with you. I say this on my team all the time, and I have rookies on my team that are not cutting it. And they're like, I'm okay with just 10 deals a year. I'm like, okay, fine. I have to take a little bit more commission from you because, you know, whatever. Yeah. But that's why you're never going to be whatever. You know, you're not going to run a team of 100 people. It's because you don't want that. And that's okay. Just admit it, Brad. I'm big about no excuses. And that comes from my coaching background.
Yeah.
You miss a serve, no excuses. There's no one else but you on that line, you know, with the ball. It's your fault. Okay. Just own it. And either get better and come in the morning and serve 100,000 balls before practice, or admit you suck at serving.
Hey, I just wanted to jump in here and let you know, if you would like access to over 26 of the top agents in the country to help you scale your business, then head over to eliteagentsecrets.com/partner, or you can just click the link in the description below. Now back to the show.
Yeah, I think that the big thing, and I think that The downfall to a coach, in my opinion, and you've coached before, and I'm sure we have different styles of coach hockey, and then now of being a real estate coach, is sometimes I just tell people what they have to hear, not what they want to hear, and what they choose to process from that is theirs. It's not, I'm not trying to hurt their feelings, but you just follow the facts. If you're not waking up till 10 a.m., you're not doing anything, you go golfing and you do this, yet you come on all my coaching things and you want to be the best agent ever. Your actions speak differently to me. And one of my favorite things I do with agents when they come on is if an agent's like, I want your time always, right? Being a real estate coach. I'm like, okay. So I'll give them half an hour. I'm like, call me next Wednesday, but I need to know from this Wednesday to next Wednesday, everything that you did that was an income producing activity and what you did for your work. One, nobody's ever called me back for anybody listening. Not one person's called me back that week later. Not even one. I've probably done it 30 times and not one, probably because they realized they suck or they didn't do anything. But the odd person that I actually coach on a regular basis that does this comes back to me and they say, holy shit, I barely do anything. Like 100% of the time, people come back that want to be these, you know, massive agents, but I'm so busy. I'm like, oh my God, puke. You did like 2 deals last month. That's not so busy. Like, grow up. So there's a big piece of that, of what you're saying, is the work ethic and doing it. It's so big. And it's something in an industry that either it just has to change for those people. Sick and tired of hearing people, they want to do this all and they don't want to do the work.
You said something, the word busy, which is taboo on my team.
Right.
Taboo.
Yeah.
You think you're busy when I call you and you don't pick up the phone? I'm sorry. Out of our, you know, 91 deals last year, I did 2/3 of that. How can you be busy? I said, transfer that busy word to successful and let me see if that still works for you.
Yeah.
You know?
So I'll pose a question for the both of you. Why do you think agents are so busy? Is it the lack of direction? They just don't know what to do? Is it that, other than the lazy part, because we know that there is a fair share of that, right? Or is it just the lack of understanding where their focus should be going on the income producing activities and, like, you know, what the income producing activities actually are?
Ladies first, before I have a snapshot.
I was like, Brad's chopping at the bit. No, I know you
have to go with this. Ladies first, have fun.
Again, there's no such, there's busy work. I have an agent on my team that's always doing something busy. And it's like, there's busy work and there's, like you said, income producing work. And if you're going to tell me you're busy, I'm going to ask you, busy doing what? And every time you tell me something that's not going to help you reach your goals, I'm going to mention it and hold you accountable for that. Like, that, it's just, it's very simple. Peter, you asked this question because you already, this rhetorical question that we, everyone on this call knows, because you're all very successful at what you do. And that is that if you are busy with whatever, kids, family, whatever, showing homes, I try not to use that word with my clients either. I'll tell you one other secret that I learned from coaching to this is, don't ever tell your clients you're busy. They'll real quickly jump off. This is the most important purchase in their whole life. Purchase or sale. This is the highest. I don't care if you're a millionaire, your house is like 3 million, you know? So like, this is the most important thing that's happening to them right now. And if you say I'm busy with someone else, I wouldn't work with you. Now, I may have 10 clients at the same time looking at houses, but none of them know that about each other. And there is a finesse about telling people that you're busy, but not saying that. I don't say I have an appointment with another client. A lot of people say, oh, make an appointment for dinner with your family and then tell them you have an appointment or whatever. I just say, that's not the best time to see that house. Let's try Saturday afternoon because we can see 5 houses at that time. Or when I'm doing the initial intake questionnaire with them, I ask them, what's your best time of the week and time of the night to see homes? Because I want to reserve that time slot for you. And all of it is me trying to be like, I'm trying to find the best time for you, but also not to, I don't ever want to say, no, I can't show you the home. I'm too busy. What? That means I don't care. Well, someone to me, and Brad, I know you're going to go off this. Someone to me says, I'm too busy or I'm too busy. That means they don't care in my book about meeting with me or doing something. So that whatever that other income producing activity is.
With the busy thing, I wish that word was almost taken out of the English language. Now, mm-hmm. To your point is that they don't care, but truthfully being busy is you're choosing another task over a certain task you want or should be doing. Like Correct. That's the truth. So when somebody comes like, oh fuck, I'm too busy to work out. No. You're choosing to do something else and not work out.
Correct.
And that's the truth about anything is nobody's ever too busy to do anything. It's just choices that you actually make. Because if you think about it, you're like, oh my God, I'm so busy. Okay. But then you have to make choices of what you want to do. And I think that that's the major part of it that people don't realize. But then when agents say they're so busy, one thing that's frustrating here is most agents that are perfectionists, maybe over time do well, but in the beginning, they suck because they think that has to be perfect before they take action. And that's a big thing. It's like, okay, well, you're busy. My script. Okay. This is an agent right now. Okay. I'm going to sit down and do cold calls. I know most people can't fucking see this, but they're like, okay, I need my book and I need my wallet just in case somebody calls me to buy something. And then I need my watch because I want to tell the time and I have to time my, like, fuck, by the time you get everything all here, you're not accomplishing anything. Just pick up the fucking phone and make a call. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect. I fumble fucked my way to 1,250 deals. Let me say that again, fumble fucked, because at first I didn't know what I was doing. But the people that know me in my life, I take action more than most people on the planet. And I make so many mistakes, but I'm taking action. And that's how I got here is most agents say they're too busy, but they're too busy doing shit that doesn't matter. And going back, maybe they need mentorship or they need something. But this topic really jazzes me because, as you can see, because they make excuses. And I run a team of 37 agents. Holy fuck, the excuses you hear. It's terrible. But really, all they have to do is like, look at my top agents, what they all have in common. They show up to every meeting and they work harder than anybody else. That's the truth.
Yeah. And just to, one of the things you said, me and Peter, no, like there's this like 4-letter acronym, which is SACA, which is just stands for set appointments, close appointments. And then only after you just do that very, very well, then work on operations and systems and all that shit. But the very first thing is set appointments, close appointments, set appointments, close appointments. If you're not closing appointments, set more appointments. And so it goes on. So it goes on. Now, I didn't want to interrupt your rants. Plural. Thanks for listening to this episode. If you would like one-on-one access to over 26 of the top agents in the country to help you scale your business, then head over to eliteagentsecrets.com/partner, or you can just click the link in the description below.